We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror.
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Splitsonduo, splitsonduo.com. Thank you for your support of our endeavor. Today's a debut. Are we going to keep doing it? I don't know. Did I have fun doing this one? I sure did. This is our potentially inaugural book club interview edition episode. If you are laughing at me right now, you do not understand how hard it is to name things in the professional, creative, public domain. Try it sometimes, and then figure out what's registered and trademarked. Do you think Banner Society came easily? It did not. It did not. Maybe more time spent on that in staff meetings than any other aspect of it. It's not the reason why it failed. That would be the hilariously mismanaged company that was funding it, or should I say not funding it. But it's really hard to name things and trademark them. So that paralysis has trickled down even to like show segments and bits. And yeah, I have to look through the archives at the RSS feed. I'm like, how did I title something last week for single? Is it the single wing? Is it single wing? Is there a number in front of it? I don't know. Alzheimer's is going to be rough. It's coming. I got to eat better or something. I don't know what I can do to reverse the damage that's been done. All right. On a happier note, Mr. Dan Wetzel, this was the first face-to-face interview I've done in a long time. Aforementioned Banner Society implosion, worldwide plague, pandemic, whatever, various sundry other issues, etc. There was a time in the old Podcast Ain't Played Nobody days where I was firing them off. We were going to get ready to travel, turn it into an interview show. But it was nice to sit and, you can tell by the way I'm talking. And I caught myself about, not soon enough. Two-thirds of the way through, I was just being a fan because there is a long-standing and very accurate take that I hate most sports writers, or I don't like my colleagues, or I bemoan the state of college football media, or I think it's all a completely worthless and offensive endeavor to build fealty to disgusting corporate people who don't deserve... Yeah, that's all true. Dan Wetzel, I'm not going to spoil what I say in the interview, but this book, there's a reason why I picked Death to the BCS to pilot a book club. And that is because, there's great writing about the sport and there is great reporting and there's no shortage of personality now. But when Death to the BCS came out in 2010, you kind of had to be there to understand how revelatory it was, at least for at the time, former byline humping news reporter, not a blogger, not someone who could fire off a newsletter. So many things that you take for granted now just didn't exist. The space did not exist to have conversations about college football, let alone question the authority, let alone aim a fucking warhead at the establishment of the sport that you were covering. So Dan Wetzel has kept that energy. I feel like I should clap when I say that. Kept that energy his entire career, at least as long as I've been following him. After we got done recording near Dan's home in the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan, we recorded it at, I got a little space at the Marriott that I was staying in. We just knocked it out there. And look, the man's very busy. He has his own podcast. He's got several bylines. He's always working on a project. You might've seen him on that Aaron Hernandez thing on Netflix. So he's very gracious with his time. I tried to compress what could have been a 3-hour show into like a 120. I told him when we grabbed a meal in the lobby of this hotel right before he left. And I can remember multiple leads that he wrote for on-site, like old school gamers, but not so old that like when I was doing it. Specifically, I remember there was a big Thursday night game between Oregon and Stanford, and I was like a nobody that was, you know, no one knew what SB Nation was. And they put me on the roof with the photographers and the assistant NFL scouts. And I never got to meet Dan. I realized we were like, all these years, I had never met Dan. I had talked to him. I did one of his earlier shows. I did a radio show with him. You know, we've conversed in Twitter, DM, you know, direct message, text. You know, when he called me to set up the thing, I was like, oh, I have his number. So like we've talked, but we've never hung out in person. That Stanford Oregon game, he wrote the best anecdotal lead about the game, the fastest, and it was the most unique on a night where there were like just way too many like national media types, to where everyone was just going to sort of do this big thing where they were in a crowd. And we were going to talk about it on the podcast. I'm not going to spoil it here, but there was a tendency, I could feel it inside of me as we started this interview, to like chuck the book and just complain about journalism, because Dan is he's just one of the few people who make the sound I like. It's like a genre of music that I don't feel like is appreciated enough inside of a larger genre of like college football media. Just no reverence for authority, no concern for tradition, unless it genuinely affects or reinforces fandom at a sidewalk level. Dan Wetzel does not, there's no flowers handed, and it's awesome. We're going to talk about the Rose Bowl. We're going to talk about various conference commissioners in this thing. And for whatever reason, you haven't read the book, you could definitely listen to this podcast. It's kind of hard to spoil a book called Death to the BCS 14 years later. So you can listen to the pod. I encourage you to go read the book, because we're going to talk about this on the show, and it may fly past you, but a lot of things you think we're discussing relative to 2024 are in a book from 2010. So as much change as you feel like you're experiencing in college football, some of the bad actors, most, I would venture to say, are still in charge, still making the same stupid decisions and bad arguments. So that's why I think the book still is important all these years later. It is not in print anymore. I discovered on the air that we had two different editions because they reissued it after 2011. And my I rebought the book, as I told you, on Single Wing. And then my original copy, which I couldn't find, I think I resold. I think they were all the originals. So there's extra stuff in there after the John Junker scandal, the Fiesta Bowl scandal, because that certainly bolsters the case that they make. I really encourage you to read the book. It holds up so well. It's very tight. Its prose is concise. There's a journalist sort of economy with words, and yet it just sings as a book. And man, is it a fuck you in just the best and warmest and most needed way for this industry. So I'm only belaboring the point here. Again, thank you to Dan Wetzel, who, I wish we could grow 50 more Dan Wetzels in a lab and unleash them on sports establishments. Just you grind, you write well, you take no quarter, you are fundamentally kind of prescient with an interview style. Yeah, it's always intimidating too when you're trying to interview another person who interviews people. So yeah, I think the world of him. I think he's a damn fine reporter. I think he's a great storyteller as well. So welcome to our inaugural, I don't know when we're going to do the next one, it's all about scheduling, book club, Death to the BCS, Dan Wetzel. My name is Stephen Godfrey, by the way, at 38 Godfrey, splitsonduo.com. Thank you for subscribing. Let's talk about Death to the BCS. All right, so this was born out of, and I'm just going to go, we're already rolling. This was born out of the fact that there is now a generation, so I'm 40, I'm about to be 43.
Yep.
So I'm having this existential thing where there's an entire generation underneath me now. And there became this sort of pithy, almost wry argument in the last 2 years that things would be better with the BCS. And then I realized that a lot of the individuals making this claim were something around the age of like 23 or 24.
Yes.
And that's where it became incumbent upon me, almost like a public service, to educate the youth of America.
Thank you for your service.
And this book, I said, I thought this book was commonplace, like, because it was so important to me at the time. So take me back to the genesis of the project. And I don't think people realize, too, the time in which I assume this book was conceived and written. We live in a post-blog, post-take culture now in sports media. But to go about having accomplished, credentialed individuals such as yourselves to go out and essentially go straight at a target like this felt so fresh at the time.
Yeah, probably. So I was thinking of this on the way over.
Okay.
So what happened was everybody was like, you every year it would come the end of the year and people would be like, this is stupid. We should have a playoff.
Yeah. Terrible.
But nobody really could get their hands on why we didn't have a playoff. They would kind of just move the, they'd shift all, oh, you can't play too many games. You got to save the Bulls or this, and the Bulls give charity. Oh, there's just, it's just endless stuff. And no one could kind of shake it out. And they just were doing this thing. So what happened was I get a FedEx and it's from the Sugar Bowl. And the Sugar Bowl sends me this coffee table picture book, like the 75th anniversary of the Sugar Bowl. I think it was the 75th anniversary of Sugar Bowl, some commemorative Sugar Bowl book. And the book costs like $75. It's really nice.
Yeah. Coffee table, like a big.
Big coffee table. Yeah. I don't even know if we have coffee table books anymore, but they used to have these things. And then you got the FedEx to send this hulking thing. It's probably like $90 the Sugar Bowl spent on me. And I remember thinking, this is the most expensive Christmas gift I received this year was from the Sugar Bowl. And I was like, how much money does this place have? Why are they sending me?
Right.
I think I'd covered a Sugar Bowl maybe. So I'm on some list. Maybe I'm in the football writers. I don't know. But there is no earthly reason for me to get this gift from the Sugar Bowl. So I was talking to Josh Peter, who works at USA Today, and he worked at Yahoo then, and one of the best investigative reporters going, and enterprise reporter, just reporter. And I said, all right, let's just really find out how this system works. Like, we're going to go to the studs. We're going to rip this thing down and keep asking and asking and asking and find out. So we started doing stories. And it was like, could be bowl finances, it could be television ratings, it could be how the Harris poll works, how these computers are. So we're doing all these stories and we're finding all sorts of crazy stuff. But the problem was you can do the stories and people are like, that's crazy, but, and then they would forget the last story and they'd argue the point. Like, but you got to, because the bowl experience is such an important thing to these young men that,
right.
You know, and you have these, you know, it's the same stuff you hear now with like administration, you know. Well, you have to have, you know, I met Sally at the Blue Bonnet Bowl dance, square dance in 62. Right. And it was I would not want to trade that experience for a national, that's not an argument. Right. So we just go after it. So then finally we have enough stuff. And I saw, I'm like, let's just turn into a book. And then we got one spot. And then we really went hard on it. And it was a time, I'm sure they still do it, but I was always jealous. I'm not political. I'm not very political. I'm a very middle of the road political person. But I always marveled at these books that would come out during like a presidential campaign that were like the case against Barack Obama or the case against John McCain. And they would just rip the dude. 100% of the book was this guy sucks.
Sure.
Right. And I mean, we've gotten a little more extreme now. Like, think about these is really,
no, it's even worse.
Right? These are pretty moderate, right? We're not really wasn't that big of a deal,
sure.
But they would just destroy the dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I didn't feel like I didn't want to write a political book but I'm like, I always wanted to write a book where you just literally go in and be like, I hate everything about this. And we're just going to massacre the thing like a defense attorney. There's no, well, yeah, but this is pretty, you know, you guys make a good point here. No, we're just going to defense attorney this thing or prosecute it.
No need to go both sides.
No, but no both sides. So that's why it's called Death to the BCS.